captain.
Hello everyone, it's Sunday night, it's the Fatback 4, it's definitely episode 4 this week, not like I made a mess last week. All the usual gang are back, so Matt, Ian, Grizz and myself, Gav. We're going to get straight into things, lads. Very important issue come up today that we are talking about, and it's, we're all stuck on a desert island, the four of us, and we need to survive, let's say for a month, until we get rescued. And we need to know what your strengths and weaknesses are when it comes to being on this desert island. Ian, I'm going to come to you first. How are you helping out and how are you going to hinder us?
Well, I knew you'd come to me first then, you prick.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I didn't know a month, man. Where the fuck did a month come from?
You might actually lose some weight.
No, we'd be like Haley on Lost, who was there for 7 years and didn't lose a pound of weight. My strengths and weaknesses, right? I'm strong. I keep your spirit up, do you know what I mean? Because I'm a dickhead and I'm always laughing and joking.
You've got a big head, so you can knock.
I've got a big head. I'm not sure how that'd help.
You can knock stakes in the ground to build a tent.
Oh, true, yeah, true.
Massive. We wouldn't need a hammer. Because have you seen the size of his forehead?
He can open the cables.
Have you lot seen the size of Ian's forehead? In London, we call it a spam. He doesn't know what a spam is. I call him a spam. Spam. It's called a spam.
Well, mate, the next time you hear one of your lady friends call it the Mysterio Mallet, she's talking about something else, mate, honestly. Trust me. I'm quite smart, so I'm a quick learner. So I'd learn what worked and what didn't. Quite sharpest, you know what I mean? My weaknesses are, I'm a lazy bastard, do you know what I mean? So I'd have all the knowledge of how to fix shit, but I just wouldn't do it, do you know what I mean? So
he's going to sit there telling jokes, is that it?
My whole Basically. Contribution to that island would be just picking on Grizz.
So you'd have a way of getting us off that island, but you'd just be too lazy to tell us, is that what you're telling?
But I'm very manipulative, so you wouldn't even realise I was doing it, do you know what I mean? I'd put an idea in your head.
That's me, man. That's me, man.
I'd put an idea in your head, and you'd think it was your idea, but I'd planted it there myself, you know what I mean? That's my strength or weakness. It depends what side of the fence you sit on.
I don't know, but you definitely don't sound like a fucking team player anyway. Matt,
and can I also say, I have got no qualms in eating a human being either, so I wouldn't sleep too long around me on a desert island for a month, because I'm eating one of you is like, defo.
Well, we might as well make it Grizz.
No, you don't eat halal.
Spicy.
you don't eat halal. I'm halal, so I'm safe. Only Gav will eat me because only Gav eats halal.
Grizz, it just tastes like bullshit.
Matt,
what are you bringing to the party, Matt?
Are these real things or can I make stuff up?
You can do whatever you fucking like. You're on a desert island, you know. It's a free-for-all.
I reckon I could fish with my bare hands. I reckon I could catch a few. I reckon I could chase a chicken and catch that.
Go on. No, go on.
He's Rocky, this prick.
I reckon
what the fuck are you doing chasing chickens on an island?
I could climb up a coconut tree and get coconut. I can build shit. I'll build myself a house. What else could do?
Yourself a house?
Yeah.
What about us?
No, you're too lazy. I'll put it in the middle. You can be out in there. And then I'll build a boat and fuck off from you all.
Yeah, so again, a really good team player that's talked just about himself.
Worrying, man. I thought we were a team, man. What the fuck's going on here?
No, there's no team now. It's kill or be killed now, Grizz, I think. Any weaknesses, Matt? No?
No, mate. No, not for me.
Are you really, bad at building boats in your sink, like, or anything like that, no?
No. Sound.
Okay, now, on to Grizz. Grizz, don't even attempt to tell me you have fucking scout badges and all that, okay?
It's not even about scout badges, right? Because I read this topic wrong, right? So I thought...
There's a surprise.
We're on a desert island, and I thought we have to sort of, like, get out of there or something. So I was thinking more like how we going to escape from this desert island.
You're not getting on my boat, you fat fuck.
No, I don't need to get on your boat, son. I don't need to get on your boat. I've got contacts, as you lot will know, right? So I would... Which one of you can light a fire?
Michael Edwards is collecting them.
I could do that.
No. If Matt can light a fire on me, I'm sure whatever island we're on, I've got a few contacts within like 25 miles. So I would look to get us rescued. That would be my main strength because, you know,
mate,
me and
fast
the communication.
Food restaurants are not contacts.
You wouldn't get us rescued. You'd get a parachute for fucking Southern Fried Chicken to come in.
I wouldn't get you rescued, Matt, for shit. But me and Gav are looking to get away because my weakness, as you all know, is food. And I will really panic for more because, like, even though I can fast, right? You know, I don't know what we doing for food, lads. Because like,
you can what, mate?
I'm very fussy. I'm very fussy when it comes to food. I'm not into like seafood and all that. Like Matt can like sort of like Matt can eat crabs and shit. You know Matt. Matt can eat anything, and so can Ian. But me and Gav, I reckon we'd be picky with our food. So that's my biggest weakness. I'd really start panicking after day two because I reckon I can survive 2 days with just
day two.
Wait, Can I just ask Giz how he gets his size if he's picky with food? Fuck off.
I eat the same. I eat the same food a lot of it, Ian.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's basically it, really. But nah, apart from that, yeah, weaknesses. I'm like Ian, man. I'm a more of a sort of leader, so I'd probably start telling you lot what to do and what not to do. But it'd be problematic if just me and Ian are telling everyone what to do, and there's Matt doing his own thing. So yeah, it's not the best team, is it? Us four.
It'd be like Lord of the Flies, but with Chris will be no picking. Order whatsoever.
But to be honest with you, Matt, from the sounds of it, Matt's a good person to be deserted with. On an island.
You do realise Matt's lying through his ass about all those things.
No, I think he can do all that shit.
He can't catch fucking chickens.
I've seen him videos of bungee jumping and shit.
Yeah,
like
what's
that,
a bungee jump got to do with fucking feeding a family of four?
That's how you catch a chicken. You bungee jump
brave,
out of a tree and get the chicken.
Matt's the type that I would make jump into trees for me to go and get like coconuts. Go on, Matt, go and catch that coconut for me. Do you know what I mean? I can imagine doing that and Matt doing it. Like Matt, jump in the sea and go and catch a fish. And Matt, yes, sir, just pop, you know, like Tarzan. I can imagine Matt being our Tarzan. Definitely.
All I can see is we're all, Ian's not bothering to build himself anything. He's just staying out in the open because he's too lazy. Matt's building himself a big house. Grizz is telling everyone what to do, and there will be a boat, and there's probably going to be not helping each other. We're just going to fight to the death to see who actually gets the boat and gets away. So there's no teamwork, no nothing. It's
also,
kill or be killed.
I put my house on 3-foot stilts so you can get up at Gav.
I told you, I carry a big ladder and a set of armbands everywhere I go.
Everywhere he goes.
But now look, fuck the desert island. Listen, on to the game. We're winning games. We're winning a game. Leicester 2, Liverpool 3. My nerves are gone. My nerves are gone from the first whistle to the last. And a couple of people were the cause of that. But Ian, I'll come to you first. Just your overall reaction to the game itself, to the result. And it's nice to win, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I spoke to all of you through the week. And I was very confident we were going to win. But we really do make it hard for ourselves, don't we? It's like fucking the Keystone Cops at the back. It's embarrassing to watch, really. That's the best way I can put it, at the back, like. But I think that's possibly the worst I've seen us play all season, that. I can't think of a worse performance. There wasn't much cohesion. We didn't create as many chances as we have been. Do you know what I mean? We didn't control the ball as much. But we got it done. Do you know what I mean? We scored Coutinho's mustard, didn't he? He was just a matter of time before he got back to what, you know what I mean, doing what he does best. Mignolet, fucking hell. I wouldn't have him on the desert island, put it that way.
We get to him.
But yeah, I thought, listen, I don't think we were as good going forward as we have been. And I think we were possibly as bad as we have been, if not worse. So all in all, we can't really complain. We don't do too well against Leicester. Jamie Vardy's a cunt. He always does well against us. So you take it, don't you? And you honestly, mate, for the last 10 minutes, I was convinced. When they got that penalty kick, if my dog would have been within 3 yards of me, I would have volleyed him up the arse because I was just livid. But you could see it coming. But I'm sure we'll discuss that penalty because I know me and you disagree on the merits of it later on. But just the overall emotion, mate, was just relief at the end. Just back in it, you know what I mean? Winning again and relief.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. Back in it, relief, getting a win. It's nice to feel like that. Matt, I'll come to you next. I'll start with the Salah goal. Ian's touched on it there. Coutinho was instrumental throughout, particularly the first half. But this lad, Salah, just looks like he's scoring every game, doesn't he?
I know. And he's scoring the harder chances. Because about two minutes before, everyone's fucking launching remotes at the TV. She's missed a sitter. I had a bit of this today where people are calling him wasteful. I'm not going to call him it while he's still scoring. Because, all right, he might miss a sitter, but he's still scoring. What's he on now? 6-9 in all competitions. For a wide forward, it's unbelievable. It's not fucking wasteful. Doesn't matter which shots he actually scores, as long as he's fucking scoring some. So yeah, I love him. I mean, we've got the same hair anyway. And yeah, he's unbelievable.
Same speed.
No, he is. He does miss that chance 2 minutes beforehand, but the header is just, you know, it's well walked down the left. And if you watch it back, you'll see him actually putting his arm up to Coutinho to show him exactly where he wants it. And Coutinho whips it in, and it's a phenomenal header. It's an absolute phenomenal header from a guy that's not renowned for his heading ability. But Matt, I'll stay with you. When that goes in, you can kind of feel the relief, can't you? Because of that chance was missed, and you're thinking back to Tuesday night when we had plenty of chances and missed them. There was a bit of relief around the place that, oh, Jesus, thank God we've taken them.
There was, but I was sound. I mean, I was texting news saying, I was buying the whole game. Even when they scored the second, I was absolutely sound. For some reason, I just knew we were just going to see it out. There was so much pressure on us to do it, and it was the exact type of game that we do. Whenever we expect to win, we don't. Whenever we're up against it and the fans are fucking giving us shit and everyone's getting a bit fucking twitchy ass, and that's when we pull it out. And I was
I think Gav said that, didn't he? I think Gav said that before the game, didn't you, Gav? You
should probably I said that. Gav wasn't having it.
Was it you? Ian? Sorry, yeah. It's not often you.
What was it that was said?
I must have forgot.
Surprisingly, you claimed it yourself, Chris.
I said that
it was probably me, actually.
when our backs against the wall were a much more dangerous side than people realise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's when we're playing against sides who were expected to beat that, the expectation is a bit more.
No, that's a fair point. Grizz, it gets a little bit better then again, I think 23 minutes in or so, and Moreno breaks from left back. He gets taken down. He gets a nice kick in the head as well for his troubles. But you'll see Coutinho's lining this up. He's eyeing it up. And we've seen from the couple of games that he's played that he needs one to go in. He needs one to fly in. And he's trying them from all angles. But it's a stunning free kick, though, isn't it? It's unsavable.
Do you know, before the free kick, do you know we're talking about the Moreno run? You mentioned the Moreno run. And, you know, we often talk about our players are not clever enough and sort of snide enough. And, do you know, Moreno's got a bit of that when he's looking to get free kicks. Because it's a free kick, but it's not a clear free kick as much as people think. He could have easily sort of veered away from him, but he sort of gets his body right across him, so the guy just bumps into him and he gets it. I mean, Moreno knew exactly what he was doing for that free kick, and I loved it. And that bit of rolling around at the end as well got him a yellow card, I think. Got the other chap, a poor chap, a yellow card, I think, as well. So, free kick on the edge of the box. We all know it's fill time, isn't it? I mean, how many times has he pulled one of those out? You know, I can remember just 3 or 4 at the top of my head. I think Middlesbrough last year, wasn't he, on the last day of the season? The Arsenal game. You know, he's pulled out a few crackers.
I seen a stat this morning saying that since the start of 2015-16, nobody has scored more free kicks in the Premier League than Phil Coutinho.
That's a fact. That's a stunning fact, if true. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I read it this morning.
Because I was thinking he's got quite a good record. I mean, with his shooting from open play, it can be fairly hit and miss. It just depends on what mood he's in, if he's in the form, if he just come back from injury. But this is what, his third game back, is it? Third game back, I think.
I think it was his first start.
About 13th game back. So yeah, he's you know, he's back to sort of, you'd like to think, optimum fitness. And that's, you know, I said it a few weeks ago as well. I said a buzz, you know, when Phil's fully fit and in the mood, you know, you just, as Ian says, he's pure mustard, isn't he? And I had a feeling that was going to fly into the top corner. I don't know what it is, but...
yeah, I thought it as well.
Yeah, I thought, here we go.
Perfect, you know, place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just far enough, wasn't it? Sort of to get over the wall with a bit of pace, you know, and top bins, man. Lovely. I mean, there were some stupid people saying, oh, Schmeichel could have made a better fist of it, but I think it was right.
Yeah, it went in off the inside netting.
You can't beat that, can you? That's not unsavable.
No, it's a brilliant free kick.
And it was good to see his passionate celebration and all that bullshit that we've, you know, sort of been attached to him throughout the summer, whatever. You know, he sort of kind of, it was a good release. Did you guys notice that as well? It was a good release of emotion from the chat, you know, the fella. Like proper loads of fist pumping. I think he ran towards the Liverpool fans as well, which is good.
Well, to be honest with you, Ian, I wanted to touch on this as well. He's been throwing shots all over the place. He's been, you know, cutting inside, lashing balls all over, everywhere. And but the mental effect, I think, of that goal today, all right, it puts us 2-0 up. And it's crucial in the game as the game pans out. But it's you can see it when he scores, you know, just that release from him to say kind of, it nearly breaks the ice, doesn't it? It nearly, you know, puts the whole summer, not completely on the back burner, but edges it that bit further away from him and the squad as a whole.
I think in terms of numbers, do you know what I mean? Here's his goal, we can move on. But I never really had a concern about his attitude, you know, when he come back. I thought he's not really the type of player to sulk and mope. I genuinely thought he'd put in a shift. If anything, he was trying too hard, like you say, and he was shooting from stupid angles, like the Coutinho of a few years ago, you know, he was a bit inexperienced. It was lovely. I mean, apart from the fact that it's a lovely goal, like, it was lovely to see just, you could almost see, like, the pressure lifting off his shoulders a little bit, do you know what I mean? Like, right, I've got my first goal, now we can just put it to bed and move on, do you know what I mean?
He always takes a while to come back, doesn't he? Injury or back in the team.
He's not the best. He's not the best at starting from scratch, you know what I mean? But, I said to you in the WhatsApp group before the game, he's getting man of the match today. I just fancied it. He'd been getting slightly better. But one thing I'll just point out is how much of a dickhead Glenn Hoddle is, right? I know it's not a secret, but when the ball got put down for the free kick, Glenn Hoddle turns around and goes, Trent Alexander's been on the free kicks while Coutinho's been out, but there's no chance he's having this. I was like, because he's on the bench, he's soft.
Because he's
squat.
A fucking bench, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you want to come on in his trachee and go to Phil? I got this, Phil. I got this. Do you know what I mean?
I
hate the way he calls him Cortino as well, or Corti. I just hate Glenn Hoddle. I just needed to say that as well.
Lovely player, though, man. Don't say that. He's one of my favourite players.
I don't remember him, mate. I'm not as old as you.
Oh, fair enough. Carry on.
Lads, it's been Salah, Coutinho, it's all positive, but I have to hit on the negative, right? And I'll go to each and every one of you on this. Now, I'll tell you why, because to me, people have spoken about Clavin, Lovren, Matip, Mignolet, Karius. We've gone through them all. We've picked the bones of everything. But yesterday, watching Mignolet, Matip, and Lovren, between the three of them trying to marshal the defence was heartbreaking to watch at times. It really was. I don't think either three of them are on form, but I don't think any of them trust each other either. I don't think there's any trust there. There's no talking. There's Lovren's first pass of the game, he launches it out of play when he's trying to pass to Moreno. You know, it's silly back passes. Mignolet nearly gives one straight to Okazaki. Matip is just torn apart by Vardy down the inside right channel. Leicester's left. It just went on and on and on. And I don't know, lads. I'm starting to run out of patience with all three of them, to be perfectly honest with you. I said it during the week, Matip gets away with murder, as you know, comparing to what the abuse Lovren gets. But the three of them, for me, I have no confidence in them three at the minute. Matt, I'll come to you first. Do you feel the same, or do you just think, you know, it's just who they are and we have to grin and bear it until January?
Well, that as well. But like, if you watch it back, the performance as a whole wasn't like shambolic all the way through. There was moment, a few stupid moments of chaos. Do you know what I mean? And the problem is, if that game's a one off, it wouldn't be too bad. It's the fact that they're doing this every fucking game. So we'll defend well for 80 minutes and we'll have 10 minutes of absolute fucking chaos. They might come in like 3-minute spells throughout different parts of the game, but we'll be all right. And then out of nowhere, someone will just have a massive brain fart, and it can be anyone of them back five. I mean, I think Moreno played well yesterday, but we all know he can brain fart. Gomez is good, but he's young, so you can't really hold it against him. And then the middle three, just at any point, it's just no confidence. There's no confidence from us. So, and Klopp saying things after the game like, oh, you'll probably blame Mignolet from this. So you know there's no confidence in there, and they're thinking the same thing that we are. So it's just the fact that it's happening over and over again is the main issue. If you watch it back, it's not a terrible defensive performance other than a few shitty moments.
So can I just buy in there, Gav? I've got it's related to this point. Matt's right, you know, for once in his life. Matt's made a good point there where he says that it's down to sort of, I mean, a lot of talk. Do you remember a lot of talk last couple of weeks has been about the system, or is it the individuals making errors, right? And obviously, you know, usually it's somewhere in the middle. It's a mixture of both. But in this game, I found that the actual shape of the team was far better. So the only chances that Leicester were getting were down to sort of just chaotic moments from individuals. And you're right about what you said, Gav, about the trust. There's just absolute no trust between that Bermuda Triangle of ours, that Mignolet, Lovren and Matip. Between them three, that should be, in any normal team, a good, successful team, that is usually the most strongest part. But that is without doubt our weakest part. And considering that how poor they are individually, we didn't do too bad defensively. I know there was moments where sort of it looked chaotic. But if you analyse the game, and I've watched it twice now, we didn't give them any clear-cut chances. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember them having sort of many. There was like crosses and whatnot.
But yeah, Grizz, I'm going to cut across you there, right? And the reason I'm going to cut across you is because there's a chance for Vardy about 10 minutes in. We give the ball away. Matip is looking at Vardy about 40 yards from goal. He's looking at him as the ball is played by Akazaki and nearly holds his position hoping an offside is given. Vardy's about 4 yards on. Vardy burns Matip, all right, leaves him for dust. Matip has no answer, right? So that's Matip. I don't know what he's at defensively. He's burned by Vardy. Vardy goes in, tries to open his body, hits a shot. Mignolet saves it. He saves it well. Now, that's Mignolet doing okay. Then watch Lovren. As the ball comes off Mignolet, Lovren's in a decent position. But instead of attacking the ball and clearing it, and you can see Mignolet shouting away, Lovren decides to turn away from the ball and look to see where Mahrez is as the ball is coming back off Mignolet.
What I'm saying to you is
the whole thing that shone for me there was the back four, the line was wrong. Matip should have been in a better position to counteract this ball from Makazaki. Mignolet makes a decent save, and Lovren is more interested in looking at the player than attacking the ball and just clearing and making a standard clearance. And this is going on all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen. As I said, they are the weakness. We know that for a fact now. It's like them three. It's strange because, again, it adds to the record of another win when Lovren and Matip, you know, this strange record, which is fact, of, you know, we've got the most wins, I think, or something, percentage wins, or our best defensive record or something under Klopp is with Matip, Lovren and Mignolet, sort of in tandem. But my point more was with regards to sort of after that Vardy chance, does anybody else remember sort of anything clicker apart from the odd set piece, you know, sort of misunderstanding as usual in the area? I didn't see them cut us open. It's only, as you said, when individual makes, for example, Lovren is playing someone onside. That's an individual mistake, you know, and you can see Klopp going mad on the sidelines. You know, he's drilled a certain routine in their heads, but they're not, you know, they're not acting it out on the pitch.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
that's what I was saying, mate. That's what I was saying.
I wasn't too worried, you know that. I know it seemed chaotic, but I was okay. I think it was very similar to how we played, not in terms of formation or anything, but sort of in terms of mentality and in terms of, you know, we didn't bomb on as much as usual. I think the setup in midfield was slightly different, which helped as well. I mean, I think Can often played deeper than Hendo. You know, they're alternating in their positions. So I think it was more similar to sort of, what was that game where Emre scored that overhead free kick? Who was it again? Watford. The likes of Watford
an
away
overhead
and West Brom away.
Overhead free kick.
Fucking
Belton. Overhead kick.
He's amazing.
It took 10 minutes,
man.
There was nothing. There was nothing for 10. There was nothing for 10 minutes. Shut up. So yeah, so you know, it was more.
You didn't speak for nine of them.
It was a more pragmatic approach, I thought.
Well, we very rarely get cut open, do we?
Yeah, but Ian, I don't know how you're feeling about this. Are you more relaxed than I am about it, or you know, are you kind of pulling your hair out the way I am? It's just I just watch these things, and it's simple things. That, yeah, okay, we weren't opened up, but we just keep giving these chances to people and giving them encouragement from nothing positions.
Yeah, it's just, we're our own worst enemies, mate, aren't we? Like Matt just said then, in actual play, in transition and stuff, we very rarely get cut open. Do you know what I mean? We defend well and our positioning's good enough, do you know what I mean? But we've always got something stupid. Something really stupid, and it's like their goal just before half. Yeah, their goal just before half time is massive stupid foul on Vardy, which on another day you don't get that foul, but nonetheless it's still a foul. Do you know what I mean? And then there's a couple more mistakes from then as well, and it's just, I think the two full backs aren't really doing too bad. I thought Moreno done well yesterday, but the two centre backs who are supposed to be possibly the two strongest players in your side, possibly even physically, but mentally you need to like keep your fullbacks under rein, don't you? Under reins, get them back into position, shout at them the way Carragher used to do all the time. Do you know what I mean? Or the way like Vidic used to do for United, just scream at your fullbacks. John Terry, they all used to do it. Our two centre backs, I've got no confidence whatsoever in Lovren's case. The very first touch he had, like you said, he shanked it out, and you hear the crowd go, oh, and he must just think, for fuck's sake. Do you know what I mean? His confidence is completely gone. He's not as bad as he looked.
Now, Ian, that first 15 minutes, you're right. That first 15 minutes from Lovren, I was going mental at the lack of confidence. And you could see it, you know, visibly going through his body. He was totally short of confidence. You're right. That first 15 minutes was a shambolic from him. But to be honest with you, he wasn't so bad after that as much as how erratic Matip was. And Gav's right, he does get away with a lot.
Well, I mean, I think the team seems to set up a little bit differently. Like, we seem to have Henderson, Chan, and then when Milner come on, he done it as well. They seem to be holding the position a lot more, you know, trying to protect the back four a bit more. And they did do that in the main. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like I said, I don't think we played overly well, to be honest. But the central back three of your keeper and your two centre backs has got to be strong. We've got teenagers playing a full back who people are complaining about. When the kids, do you know what I mean? Trent Alexander is 18 years of age. I was still wanking into a sock when I was 18. Do you know what I mean?
Still are, mate.
He's flying up and down the wing against fucking some of the best players in Europe. I mean, he's top talent. Same with Gomez. I think Gomez is a centre half, to be honest. But they're getting no protection in terms of vocally. Do you know what I mean? Matip's very quiet. Lovren's arse is gone, so he doesn't want to talk to anyone. Mignolet's just a fucking... Mignolet's just... The three of them...
I get to him.
No, but Ian, you made a brilliant point there. Did anyone see that awful shambolic match of the day afterwards, right? But what one bit of match of the day was very poignant about the way United defend. Did you see how much protection their fullbacks were getting when, I don't know who the pundits were showing how Mata and Rashford are literally paying wingbacks for Man United, and the fullbacks had so much protection. When do you see our fullbacks protected like that?
I don't want to see that, though. They're a boring they're a boring team. Like, you look at it, they'll go to seven at the back happily. I'm happy seeing us attack. I just want
better personnel.
I agree with shit at the back. I want better personnel, but I want us to play the same way.
No, we would play the same way, Matt. But the point being is, we've often criticised our game management. Again, I'll say, our biggest problem is when we're winning, we're playing the same way. I don't agree with that, Matt, personally. If we're winning, like just like the Seville game, when we're winning, we're still playing kamikaze football. We're still playing that high-tempo game. Why are we doing that?
I think we're aiming to keep the ball as far away from them centre halves as we can.
Possibly.
I'm not joking. I'm genuinely not joking with you. When I watch Liverpool play, I'm kind of thinking, look, if we can get as high up this pitch as we can, hopefully that ball travelling 100 yards the other way, somebody can get a toe on it, because I don't trust these lads at all. But look, I have to move on, because Henderson was a topic of conversation on Tuesday night. His performance, for me, I thought he was awful on Tuesday night. Not only in the way he played, but the way he captained the side, the way he was really, really quiet when it came to big moments in the game. I think he improved, but I think somebody touched on it there to say that him and Jan alternate. I think it might have been Grizz. But Matt, I'll come to you first. I was glad that they alternated a bit and protected a little bit more. It was noticeable, wasn't it? It was noticeable that there was a little bit more, they were taking it in a bit more that, look, we need to defend here, we need to protect these lads.
Yeah, you could definitely see Chan was sitting a lot further back than usual. And even sometimes when he was forward, you can see Genie sitting a little bit. And I mean, Henderson's got qualities, but I think one of his worst qualities is his positional sense when he's defending. So if you only give him half the pitch to defend, then he's going to get a lot less wrong. If that makes sense in any way. But yeah, you could see Chan was sitting, and it's definitely a tactic that Klopp enforces. It wasn't just by chance. And he did. I mean, in the past, I've never liked seeing both of them playing next to each other, but they actually played all right. I think Chan was it was one of his worst games, whether that was because of the new formation or not, because he is up and down anyway. I don't know, but Henderson definitely had a better game, and he got his goal as well, which had put a bit of a shine into it.
Yeah, no, he gets the goal, and I think that the way they alternate is how the goal comes about, because, you know, we're really good in the press, we win the ball, and we're clinical, and it's great. And there's Henderson, who's meant to be the deepest line midfielder, and he's up with Sturridge. When it comes to the goal, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, if you watch their goal, though, we weren't amazing on that break. Their defender, is it Ndidi?
He was Ndidi, yeah, that's the midfielder. Yeah.
He was fucking lazy. He was awful. Henderson started behind him, and you watch him. He's literally jogging about 5 miles an hour as Henderson's bombing past him. And he actually starts in front of Henderson on the halfway line. And when Henderson's scoring that goal, he's not even within 15 yards of their box. And he's meant to be their defending midfielder. He was absolutely awful.
Yeah. It was. His attitude towards getting back was brutal. But Ian, it was a big change from Tuesday night when it comes to Henderson. He looked more assured on the ball. Even the one-touch football around the middle of the park was a lot better. He wasn't trying to switch balls every time. He was keeping it simple, and he was taking things over the way that sort of player should.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it was night and day between Tuesday and yesterday.
Literally.
Yeah. But he gives the thing with Henderson is
look how happy Chris is with that joke.
Henderson is doing a job for the team or a version of a job for the team, and it's not getting the best out of his actual qualities. When we first got him, Henderson's box to box, got a massive engine on him. His natural game is to run. Do you know what I mean? And at the minute, he's having to curtail that, and that's why when he scored that goal, like Matt just made out there, he breaks his nuts to get to the edge of that box. That's the Henderson. That I think that's his natural game, box to box. Whether he's good enough to do it for us remains to be, well, it's doubtful, do you know what I mean? But he's doing a job for Liverpool, and he's not always going to get it right, because it's not his natural game, I think. So he's always curbing his natural instincts. He got pelters for on Tuesday, because he was shit, but he wasn't the only one. And he played well yesterday, but he wasn't the only one. It's important to not slag him too much and to not wank him off too much. Do you know what I mean? Not everything is the be-all and end-all one way or another. He's played well, but now he's got to build on it. What I will say about his goal is not only does he get there, I mean, then when he takes a touch, I thought, oh, he's fucked it here. But he gives everybody the eyes. He looks to the far, like, to the far post, or like he's going to like go for the far post or even try and pass it off. And he does them all and puts it. And I just thought it was brilliant, like. And I was made up for him, because there's certain podcasts out there and all that just that would actually line up against the wall and shoot him if they had an opportunity. Doesn't matter what he does, doesn't matter how he does it, they've decided he's shit. Do you know what I mean? They just don't want to see him do well, which is, do you know what I mean? That says a lot. It says a lot, doesn't it?
It was a lovely finish, that. Superb.
Yeah, it's brilliant. He's done them all with his eyes, and he's got it in him to score. He should score a lot more goals. Do you know what I mean? He should do. But we're talking about Henderson. And Chan, I thought Chan started all right, but Wijnaldum was completely invisible for me the entire game. And I've heard people say it in the past, and I stick up for him, and I do think he's a good player. But something happens when he goes away an away ground. It's like it's psychological now. He thinks, shit, I haven't scored for like 2 years away from home or whatever, and he just seems to wilt a bit. But Klopp seems to. Klopp didn't take him off, and in my opinion, he wasn't playing bad. He just wasn't doing anything. Mm. I mean, it very rarely showed for the ball. Mm. So he needs to up his game. He's
maybe Klopp is thinking about Tuesday and not playing them Tuesday.
Yeah. It's possible. But when he was
I don't think Klopp saw him. He's invisible, isn't it? I don't think. Klopp
yeah, honestly, it's it was just so like.
Do you know what Klopp likes about him? I think I've got a theory on this. I've been thinking about him.
His smile.
Apart from his smile, because we all love his smile, right? But do you know if you watch Ginny, his game is supposed to be sort of very much based around trying to get into the box at the right time. Do you remember the way Mourinho wanted Frank to play, Fat Frank Lampard, like when they had their wingers like Duff and Robin on the flanks, and Lampard was never involved in the build-up or anything. He was just asked to just hover around that on the edge of the box and just try to get into the box and just
be on the
end of them, whatever. Say again, sorry?
Lampard used to score, though.
Well, this is it. You know, we were talking about Hendo. Hendo's actually, in my opinion, got a better capacity to do that. It's just my opinion. People can obviously disagree, you know, but I think Hendo is more suited, as Ian said earlier, to that role.
Absolutely.
I mean, Ginny,
I've been saying it for a while. I'd rather Hendo and Chan swap.
But what Ginny does, and possibly maybe this is what Klopp saw and kept him on, whatever, is Ginny does a lot of off-the-ball tracking, Ian, I find. Especially away from home. He does a lot of off-the-ball tracking of midfielders when they're making their runs, the likes of, I don't know who their midfielders are making runs up, but like, sort of, let's say that King fella in midfield or, you know, or Albrighton, you know, helping out. He does a lot of that goes unnoticed. So that goes in his favour. But he just doesn't get involved in terms of the build-up of the play. And again, I think that's a lot to do with our frenetic, the way we play even when we're winning. He's still further ahead of the play. For example, we don't want to go back to the Seville game, but everyone sort of criticised Hendo for not being on the edge of the box when that guy, you know, when they won the header. But did you notice the rest of our midfielders? They were all ahead of the ball. Why? So we're winning 2-1 or whatever it was, and 1-0, and the other team have got a set-piece corner. It's just the makeup and the mentality of our team. It's just something's not right. It's not controlled enough. Our midfield is not controlled enough, in my opinion.
I think it'll be a lot better when Coutinho drops in or when Lallana comes back.
Yeah, it looked a bit more... look a bit more controlled yesterday, lads. I have to be honest with you. You know, the whole idea, something that struck me over the last couple of weeks since the season started really was the amount of times the opposition team can literally make two passes and they're on air back four. And I don't think that happened too often yesterday. We looked a bit tighter. We looked a bit more organised. And Jean and Henderson in particular seemed to steady that ship a bit. When Alan does a hell of a lot of running, he does an awful lot of closing down. But I agree with Mosey is that his end product or his impact on the game is minimal, to say the least.
Minimal.
But look, I have to go on to this. Vardy makes a 3-2. And then Mignolet concedes a penalty. Now, this is where Ian was mentioning earlier that me or him don't agree with it. So I'll come to Ian last on this. But Matt, I'll come to you first.
It's not a fucking penalty, you dickhead.
Are you saying it's not a penalty, yeah?
Of course.
Is that your final answer?
Right, two things. First of all, he should have fucking booted it away. If he's not going to boot it, he should have gone with his hands and caught it. Then it definitely wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
But I still think he catches the ball and then the players knock into each other. I can understand why the ref gave it, because the touching the ball is fucking dead faint.
I don't think it's that the touching the ball is dead faint. It's he goes to hit it and it ends up behind him. So as soon as he hits the ball is behind him and it's the next stage of play, and that's when he hits Vardy. For me, it's a penalty all day long. That's my point of view, but look, I don't matter. I'm just asking you three. Grizz, I'll come to you. Do you think it's a penalty? Do you side with Matt and think, no, it's not?
I'm still not sure, you know. You look again and he does get Look, first and foremost, any keeper or any professional football player, because any worth his salt, if you get there in that position and you get there first, you have to strike the ball. Even if he struck it back into play or whatever, you've got to get more of a contact than Mignolet does, because he near enough takes an air kick, doesn't he? And he just sort of gets, as Matt says, it's a fucking faint touch. And then he just goes through on the player. If I was a ref, I would have given that penalty, because the fact that you said that the ball ends up behind him. So the ref thinks, well, he must have not got a touch. Do you know what I mean? So it's very difficult for the referee to see that faint, faint touch he got.
Oh, I don't think the ref doesn't think he gets a touch, because the speed the ball is going at, in order for it to end up where it is, it needs Mignolet to get a touch to slow it down, because it doesn't fly beyond them.
But it kind of just collides into them, doesn't it? It's sort of
It's like nearly two actions, or the referee would see it as two actions, where his studs hit the ball, it goes behind him. So now he's committed to the ball. He's hit the ball, but it's gone behind him. It's not gone where he's intended to hit it. And he's then clattered Vardy, who's, if he doesn't clatter Vardy, Vardy's in. He's in and he's tapping her in the net. You know, that's my opinion on it. But Ian, I'll give you the last word on it, because I know you disagree with me, so go ahead.
Yeah, I do disagree. A bit like Matt, I can see why it was given. But for me, if there was video refereeing, I don't think it's given. You know, if you could challenge it and have a look. He hits the ball, fair enough, he doesn't deal with it. And then the pair of them collide. It's not like Vardy gets to the ball first and clips it past him and he takes him out. Vardy doesn't touch the ball either. Do you know what I mean? So neither of them get it. But what I will say is Mignolet is a shithouse. Do you know what I mean? In a challenge like that, his eyes should light up and he should think, someone like Schmeichel or someone like that is thinking, coming out, I am clearing that ball 80 yards and I am putting that fella on his ass. I'm going to put me into his chest.
You're going to end up in a wheelchair. Yeah,
I think Schmeichel comes out and just goes, you know, full length, hands on the ball, and if Vardy wants to hit me while I'm on the ground, I'll have my knees up into my chest and protect myself, and that's it.
It might be like a groch. They look at that, or even if you play fullback or whatever, you play anywhere, and every now and again, you hear Gary Neville say it, you see an opportunity to win the ball and leave something on the player as well. And that, your eyes light up as a defender. Mignolet's a shithouse, though. He's come out for the ball. Agreed. He's got plenty of time to get there, but he's too concerned with the fella running at him. So he neither goes with his hands and he neither clears the ball out or the man. So he does none of the three because he's that concerned with getting it. And he's a big unit, Mignolet. What is he, like 6'3"?
Oh, he's massive, he's man. He's massive.
Big fella. But he's just got... I've said this in the past about our team. Like, we've got no groks. Do you know what I mean? We've got no one who stands up and just wants to have a scrap. And but he should have just cleaned that man out. And then we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Do you know what I mean? We wouldn't be, because if he hits that ball forward and hits Vardy, I think he gets a free out. Right? I think he gets a free out because he's made contact with the ball and Vardy's come in and hit him. But I think because the ball goes behind him, it's then it's an open ball for anyone to go for, and he impedes Vardy in going for it. That's why I think it's given. But you're right, he completely bottles it. In my opinion, his hands should be, he should be getting his hands on that ball and snuffing out any danger. And if you take a hit off the player, you take the hit. But just one other thing on Mignolet I wanted to touch on. He makes the penalty save.
Oh, fuck off. He caused it.
No. What?
He caused it.
No, I know he caused it, but look, he saves it. Okay.
Do you know who needs the respect, who needs the kudos for that penalty save? John Achterberg. Because it showed you the penalties, like Vardy's last five pens, and three of the last four have gone in that exact position. And Mignolet has saved five of his last eight penalties, and he's actually come out in the press in the past and said...
They do a lot of work.
I get a lot of information from our goalkeeping coach. He's excellent with this type of information. So, all right, Mignolet saves it, but he knows where it's going. And when I was looking at where the penalties have been, I was like, he's going the same place. Just know that he's going the same place. And he did. So, fair enough, he saved it. He kept it out. But fair play to the staff, do you know what I mean? Because they've told him exactly where that's going.
It was a big... And he's another
one. Matt, can I ask you a question? Because I know you're not a fan of his, I don't think, but I'll ask you this question anyway. If you watched the game overall yesterday, he's involved with that penalty. He saves it, okay, fine. I think on Vardy's second goal where Vardy heads into an empty net, I think he gets to that save, but I think he can do more with it rather than palm it across his own goal. And I think the fourth goal... If he's being fouled by Okazaki, there's no doubt about that. But there's two options for me. Hit the ground, and you're definitely getting a free kick because a linesman is definitely putting his flag up, or a referee. Or, you know you're being pulled, you stay standing, but you don't go for the cross, and you wait for the second ball to drop, and then you go and do the business. He just seems to be all at sea, and I've heard people go on about Karius or Ward, and to be perfectly honest with you, they're well within their rights to, because he has a mistake in him every game, and some parts he looks great, and some parts he looks all at sea.
Have you asked a question there, or just answered yourself?
Yeah, no, just when I watched the game yesterday, I just thought, this argument is still going on. It's still going on, and we went on about this last season. Now he's really good in the running. That's fine, but we're still talking about this fella six, seven league games. Yeah.
In the first one, the two options are he either launches Hoshizaki off, or he goes down. They're the two options.
Yeah.
Any other keeper doesn't let a fucking 5'6" striker keep hold of him. You launch him off. In the Vardy one, first of all, I thought his positional was shit anyway, so that's why he was further out and he has to react quickly. And then secondly, the palm he got to it was weak. But that is being a bit harsh, because it did come at him really quick. So I think it's more his positioning than the actual palm. Speaking on two keepers, I do love Karius, but I'd be more than happy to see Ward given a go. I mean, he gets stuck in, maybe brings a bit of that knobbish that you need from a keeper, because they're meant to be the nutters that go into any challenge, aren't they, and clear the whole box out. And I don't know if Karius is that man, so yeah, I'll be happy with Ward going in there.
Well, do you know what I say about those two goals? The one where Okazaki's hanging off him, Okazaki's a 5'5" midget fella, do you know what I mean? Danny Ward doesn't even feel him on him. He just come out. Danny Ward's a groch, comes out, punches that ball, it's gone.
Yeah.
The other one where Mignolet doesn't get to Vardy in time and he gives the penalty away, Karius 100% gets there before Vardy, because he's a lot quicker and a lot more proactive off his line. So either one of those keepers does better in those two goals. Do you know what I mean? It's just,
do you know, with, yeah, but, do you know with the first corner
see,
one?
Sorry, Grizz. I'm going to come to you now, Grizz, because I said this at the end of last season. The major issue I have with this is we are talking about Mignolet and the pros and cons 6 league games into a season again. And this is the issue I have. You need to be in a position where you trust the goalkeeper, and he's had plenty of time to earn this trust. And it seems to me that he's going to need to be dropped again. And then he's going to have to come back 10 games later and be this brilliant goalkeeper, because he needs to be dropped to prove himself. And we haven't got the time for that.
Is that a question, or are you just answering yourself?
No. I said this to Grizz, and Grizz knows I said this at the end of last season.
I remember you saying it as well.
I don't, because you lot never remember mine, so I'm not remembering yours as well, tit for tat. But yeah, no, I do actually, Gav. You did. But do you know what the frustrating thing is? You know, you guys talking about the first part where he gets a tug from Okazaki. Look, it was a tug, right? I think we're slightly being harsh on him for that one, right? But you're right. A more physical and commanding keeper just throws him off. And the thing is, they practice that in their pre-match routines. John Atterberg actually does that, Ian. Do you know when the crosses goes in?
Yeah, I'm sure. They use like rugby pads or something.
That's
yeah.
it. They rough him up. And he sort of pushes it about. So he practices it. They practice his pre-match. They give it a good 20 minutes. And he's like sort of, you know, if this happens in the box, you know, you just shove him off. Because how often do you see a penalty given for a keeper shoving a striker out of the way? It's just the norm, isn't it? It's the given. You're allowed to do it kind of thing. The keepers get away with that kind of thing. Why he doesn't do that and sort of just almost, you know, lets him put him off getting the ball is ridiculous. And it's just, you know, it's just a mentality thing as well. It's just, there's no, you know, commanding forcefulness about him. It's like, there's no presence about him. That's my biggest gripe. My biggest gripe with Mignolet, there's no presence about him. You don't, you know, you just naturally don't feel comfortable with, you know, with him around. And, you know, it is worrying. You're right. There was improvement. I said it as well, Gav, in response to your Mignolet out shouts, I was saying, well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, because he was showing more authority. And again, even though the mistake, all right, Okazaki pulls him, he does make a conscious effort to go for the ball, which I do like personally. He does actually go for the punch, you know, but he's just not for us, is he?
No, I don't think he is. And this constant to and fro, and he is good enough, he's not good enough, he's in form, he's out form, it's just not good enough. But look, we'll probably see it again next week, and we'll probably discuss it again next week, because that's just the sort of goalkeeper he is. Look, I only have 10 minutes left. I wanted to touch on something really quickly. The Day Trippers during the week there announced a live event that they're doing on the 22nd of October. David Fairclough is the guest at the live event. This all kicks off at 2 p.m. If people want to go to lfcdt.com and go to the shop on that website, you can buy tickets. I think it's £10 for general admission. And £10, €10 for general admission, €20 for admission, plus you get your picture taken with David Fairclough and a signed copy of his book, which is super value. I think that's less than it's actually valued at in bookstores. But just get onto the website, get your tickets. It should be a great day. Plenty of the day trippers will be down there for the full day. Lads, I want to move on to the last thing. And again, I'm going to let you choose for each other on this one. It's game shows. And Ian, I'll start with you, and I want you to choose the game show that you would send Grizz onto, and to win you some money. So, Ian, you choose for Grizz.
He's not winning shit. What would I send Grizz on?
Game show.
Okay. I would put Grizz on "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here." or "I'm an ITK, Get Me Out of Here," whatever you want to call it. But, and that's just because I've seen some of the food he's at, and those witchetty grubs are like a starter to him on a normal day. Do you know what I mean? So I think he'd be sound in those regards. He'd be able to put anything away. You know, as long as it was halal, it's going down. As good, you know what I mean?
I like
so
it,
I think
I like
he'd be
it.
All right there. And he's good, good company, Grizz. So he'd be good around the campfire and all that. And he wouldn't even get depressed about how long he's been there, because he's a fucking absolute baz, isn't he? So he wouldn't know how long he's been there. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, we've been here for 6 weeks, and he's like, oh, for hell, what day is it? I thought it was Wednesday, because he's that type of person.
Yeah, I think you've done well today to remember we played Leicester yesterday.
So I'd send him on that, because I think he'd do well on it. And then the one that I wouldn't, I think he'd be abysmal on, would be catchphrase. Because it's like he's got, like, early onset Alzheimer's or something, and he's like Dory out of Finding Nemo, and he just can't remember anything. Like, that's Mr. Chips will come on the screen on catchphrase. Yeah, it's still on now.
Is it still going?
Yeah, it's still on. Something will come on for him, and he'd be like, and then he wouldn't get a single question right, but he'd always know the answer after he'd been told it. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I was saying the other day.
He'd get himself a catchphrase medal made up, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Grizz, I'm going to let you choose from Matt. What would he be good at, and what would he not be good at?
Do you know what? This is not planned, and it's brilliant the way it's worked out, because I was really hoping that I get to choose for Matt. It's amazing how things work out. Because for me and Matt, I would definitely put Matt, and for me, Matt would be going on Give Us a Clue. 100% Give Us a Clue. Because the less Matt talks, the better for everyone. There's no way. Honestly, there's no way we can understand what he's fucking talking about, because he's pissed. Because he's actually pissed right now. Listeners don't know this, but Matt is pissed, right? As you can tell. Right, from the shit he comes out with. So Give Us a Clue, Matt. No words, just signal to us what the fuck you're talking about. That's the best one. Sherrod's Give Us a Clue. What would Matt be crap at?
Nothing, mate.
I think he'd be... And actually, I think he'd be good at... Yeah, you know that... Do you remember that... what's that bald-headed... Crystal Maze?
Oh, yeah.
Matt would be fucking superb in Crystal Maze. Because Matt's like that. Matt's one of those mad fuckers that just jumps into sort of mud pools and shit, aren't you, Matt? And just finds fish where fish don't even exist. You know, shit
so
like
you're
that.
You're giving them Give Us a Clue and the Crystal Maze, right? And and your original thought was, what would he be bad at? And then you said, the Crystal Maze would be great at that.
Yeah, see, this is my point. He'd be catchphrasing.
No, what I'm saying is, like, there's two shows that he'd be great at.
Okay.
I'll change my mind.
Do you want to leave it at that and just say nothing bad about him?
Yeah, go on, man. Go on, man.
All right.
Matt is definitely getting his head stuck in some sort of event in the Aztec zone in Crystal Maze, though. Have you seen the fucking gammon head on him?
That's true. Fucking out of that, isn't it?
Matt, you'll have to choose for me, Matt. So what am I good at and what am I not going to do? Not going to fare well at?
All right. Fuck it now. I reckon, all right, I put you as good at the Krypton Factor, because I reckon you'll be all right. Wait, you'll be all right in the questions, and I reckon you can get under that net at full sprint. So, like, you might be a bit slow getting up them ramps, but you'll fucking power through there.
You wouldn't even have to duck.
I'm not wearing the armbands on the fucking assault force.
And then you have to go up. You have to go up this ramp, and then you have to go down the ramp at the other side. Have you ever seen Hook where that big fat lad tucks his legs behind his head and rolls down? On the way down, and then he just rolls to the end and he's sorted.
I don't think I'm good at.
All right, maybe. Okay, that's what you're good at. Good in fact. And then I reckon you're bad at maybe catchphrase, because you keep spelling the words wrong. Like, instead of three, you'll spell it tree. And instead of murder, you'll spell it moider and all this. So you'll get no points every fucking round.
Right, so I'm bad. That's what I'm good. So I'm, yeah.
You're good at running Grizz under nets and your shit is spells.
You're being an expert for me. That's fair enough. I have to pick for an Ian. Ian is a lot more intelligent than people actually realise.
Fuck off.
He is. That's genuine. He is. He is a knockhead, as he likes to say, but he is more intelligent than he is. I think he'd be really good on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I'd smash it, you're right.
I think he'd nearly be chatting up Chris Tarrant, you know. He'd be you know, giving them the eyes and everything. You'd be nearly sorting them out with easier questions. I think he'd be really good at that. What would he be bad
got
at?
Got no friends, though, for phoning a friend. That'd be fucked.
You got my number.
I think Chris is in KFC.
Hold on a second, Chris.
Your fish.
That's two chicken burgers, four chips. Wait there, Chris, mate. I'll be there in a sec.
There's no way Grizz is answering that question in 30 seconds either. Not a fucking chance. But, I think he knows the stuff, so I go with him on he wants to be a millionaire. But having said that, I think he'd be really bad on the chase. And the reason is because the way they put the person up the top there, the chase or whatever the fuck, yeah, that's what they call them. There's a good chance Ian is climbing up there to give him a slap. Or her. I think he's just had enough of them after about 35 seconds when it's not going his way and to be uproar. And what's the
dead condescending as well. The dead condescending there, I hate them.
His name's gone out of my head, but I think he told the flip flop as well at some stage. So
Bradley.
I'm he's for more legal reasons than anything else. But lads, we're at the end. We're bang on the hour. It was really good. We won a game. It's all good. We move on to, is it Wednesday? In Moscow.
Tuesday.
We move on to then. I'm sure there'll be content during the week from the trippers and different things. We'll be back next Sunday. Thanks to Ian, Matt, Grizz. I've been Gab, your host. We'll talk to you next week for episode 5. Over and out.